news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Naked lady on the golf cart in the middle of a police standoff getting a bit of attention on the text line.
Yeah. Probably got some attention in Tampa, too, or wherever it was that she did that.
It was Tampa. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, good morning, y'all. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. Telephone number, it's important to know because this is the hour we turn up your voice, 343-0106. You can also use that line as the text line as well. How about we talk a little Afghanistan here?
Let's do that.
We haven't done much of that this morning. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the State Department is doing accountings on the back end as Afghan evacuees arrive in the United States, while some raise concerns about the vetting process. Blinken, during a press conference in Qatar, said the Biden administration focused on getting as many individuals out of Kabul and planned to focus on vetting after evacuating Afghanistan. I'm not sure if that was the way that it was supposed to go, but that's the way it is now.
Without personnel on the ground, we can't verify the accuracy of manifests, the identities of passengers, flight plans, or aviation security protocols. So this is a challenge, but one we are determined to work through.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah. Hey, it would be theirs, right?
We don't have security on the ground now. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. we're aware of everything.
What about
it made the news, Anthony?
What about security on the ground where the flights are landing? You know, because they're not coming directly to America,
right?
In that in between zone there, maybe vet them there.
I think so. Last week, following the full withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, the White House said intelligence and counterterrorism officials were working around the clock to vet all Afghans before allowing them to enter the United States. The White House said those with special immigrant visas and vulnerable Afghans were flown to third countries in Europe and Asia that had agreed to serve as transit hubs for upgrading robust security screening and flying to the U.S. So they've got these people wherever they have them, in Europe and Asia, and they're screening them at that point there,
right,
before they come to the United States. Your thoughts, Dalton?
I don't see how, unless they are truly going to vet a lot of these people, and, you know, many of them are refugees, I'm sure, and hopefully we were able to pick up as many SIV holders, mm-hmm, and more importantly, American citizens, as many as we were possibly able to. But the way things kind of look like they went down is Kabul became overran. You obviously had so many Afghans surrounding the airport that wanted to leave. That was obvious how badly so many of them wanted to leave. When we saw them, you know, jumping on the outside, mm-hmm, of that one C-17,
yeah,
as it taxied the runway. So the Americans were not able to – not all the Americans were able to get through the checkpoints. Certainly, many of the Afghans who helped America during the last 20 years were not able to make it through the checkpoint. And I think they had to have just picked up as many people as they could without checking on them at all there in Kabul.
Vetting them now.
So how sure are we?
The process is kind of upside down and backwards, right?
Exactly. And I know they keep saying that they're using like these diagnostic tests or whatever they said, some high-tech form of testing in order to figure out who so many of these people are. But you can't tell me that no person that means ill to America didn't make it on any of those planes. And even if they didn't, I mean, how can you square the way that the administration is acting about these people coming from Afghanistan with the vetting process and the way they're treating our southern border right now, where they're just letting anyone through? They can say it all day and all night long that there's an extreme vetting process from these people coming from the Middle East. But unless they carry that vetting process over to other parts of the border and, mm-hmm, people coming in, then who could take them seriously? Because if you're gonna vet these people as hard as they are, why wouldn't ISIS just send someone to Central America or send a bunch of people to Central America and see who can make it through the U.S. border?
How do we know they haven't?
Yeah, I think they have.
The White House also said all Afghans would be tested for COVID-19 upon arrival to the U.S. and offered vaccines, and said U.S. military bases are ready to take in SIV applicants and other vulnerable Afghans for medical screenings, health care services, and other aid. Also, meanwhile, Jen Psaki, she spoke yesterday about Taliban We're watching you close.
Yeah.
This is what she had to say yesterday.
Whether they allow for American citizens and citizens of other countries to depart, whether they allow individuals who want to leave the country to leave, whether they allow for humanitarian assistance to travel, how they treat women and girls around the country.
Yeah, really putting the turning the heat on the Taliban.
Yeah. They laid out yesterday their government, the Taliban did,
I know.
Because they want, you know, international acceptance as the actual government of Afghanistan. And a lot of the media is reporting that there are no females in their government, which, I mean, surprise, surprise. Did we think they were going to elect a female president? I didn't expect that for sure. I mean, they're already separating the women from the men in classes in Afghanistan. So, but yeah, they're looking for international recognition, but from what I'm seeing, so many of the leaders in the new Taliban government were the same leaders, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Bad news.
Yeah, that had either made their way out of Guantanamo Bay or were in hiding for so many of the last few years. If that's what they want is acceptance, then you would think they would at least put up some fake front, like mm-hmm. some new guy that could be trusted.
Hey, it's Ernie.
Yeah. Bert and Ernie.
He's really a good guy. It's, let's see, Mike is on the line, 343-0106 to give us a call. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. What you got for us today, Mike?
Well, the thing is, I just can't figure out how they did this. I mean, it's rule of thumb, all non-combatants come out first. That's everybody.
Right.
And then you recede your lines with all your units, destroy anything that you do not want to leave behind. And how hard is it to pick up a pair of night vision goggles and put them in your bag and bring them home with you?
Not hard.
I mean, you know, that just blow the smithereens out of everything else that's left there. That way nobody has anything to work with. And because, I mean, it's pretty evident that they knew this was coming all along, because I'm an old Vietnam veteran. I saw it firsthand in Vietnam. I saw the way the troops were, and I knew the minute that we picked up the move, it was just going to go bad real quickly. That's all I got to say. I mean, it's definitely a mess up. I just, you know, I wish they hadn't done it this way. And by the way, you don't put your enemy 20 feet away from your perimeter.
No.
You know, it's sorry for you.
Hey, Mike, what era did you serve during Vietnam? That was a long conflict.
I was in Vietnam 1969 through middle 1970.
So the very end of the war.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, everything was pretty much done whenever I left there in mid-70. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some skirmishes going on, and some of the people that were supposed to be working with us, I mean, I would go to check lines sometimes at night and find them gone, leaving the weapons in the hole, come back in the morning, they'd be there, they'd be asleep. But, you know, but that's the way it went.
Mike, thank you for your service, man.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
Thanks. I agree with what Mike had to say there. And, you know, coming up, I want to talk about Bagram. I still think that was the main big mistake, one of the major mistakes in this withdrawal from Afghanistan. But Tony from Fairhope says, what about the private flights being blocked? I think that has maybe more than anything the most potential to
really
stain this administration.
Get the White House in hot water.
Yeah.
Big time. People are really angry about that.
We'll talk a little bit about that. These private chartered flights that aren't making it out of Afghanistan right now.
15 minutes after 8. Your calls are welcome. 343-0106. It's also the line for the text line with Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. Dalton spent part of his day yesterday wearing a leotard in dance class with his 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
And then he was kicked out of the class
for wearing the leotard.
Very confusing story.
Yeah.
You were getting a lot of mixed signals at dance class yesterday. Anyway, 2.5 is how old Izzy is, and I was looking to see, is that a little young? You know, I didn't have any girls, so isn't that young? That's young for anything, really. And so it's okay for them to just be hopping around and all that.
Yeah.
If you're actually going to get, you know, a ballet or dance class, the recommended age is 7 or 9, mm-hmm. 7 to 9, which is a long way from 2.5.
But it seems just late, though. It's
in today's society, it does. Like, I mean, you got kids hitting ball off the tee when they're 3 and 4.
Yeah. Look at Tiger Woods. I mean, he was golfing on national TV at 2. which was my plan for Izzy, didn't work.
Golfing or dancing?
Doing anything on TV right now. You know, she's a 2-year-old, and I love that. But, yeah, 2 is probably not – she's probably not, you know, soaking in the instruction. But 7 seems a little late. I would say probably 4 or 5 seems like the right zone there. But we had a good time yesterday.
The terrible 2s is not a myth.
No.
Kids can be very ornery. Their tiny little bodies can produce all this attitude and all these actions. Like like you said, she spends most of her day throwing shoes at me. But that's what a 2-year-old does.
Yeah.
They don't have any concept of barely even right and wrong.
What are they so angry about?
I don't know.
I mean, you've been alive 2 years. Hold on to that anger.
What's your beef, Izzy?
Exactly.
Love to hear from what you've got to say. We'll check the text line a little bit. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. And, of course, 343-0106 if you want to give us a ring.
And speaking of dancing, that's basically what the Biden administration is doing regarding this Afghanistan withdrawal, kind of trying to dance around it. Yesterday, he had a speech as he went to New York and in New Jersey.
Yeah, talking about the storm up there.
It was all climate change from Biden yesterday. And I don't know if you heard this or saw this, but there were hecklers there. As Biden was – I forget where exactly he was when the hecklers showed up. Was it in Queens?
I think so.
And the hecklers were angry about the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Wow.
They were yelling at him for leaving troops in Afghanistan. During his speech, Biden turned that into saying the hecklers were yelling about global warming and basically was calling them global warming deniers – when that was nowhere near what they were upset about as they were heckling him. So, I mean, you see the game being played there. But I think, like I said going into the break, one of the main things that I've seen over these last 2 weeks since the brutal withdrawal, obviously the number one terrible thing that happened was the Marines that were killed on that day. Also leaving Americans in Afghanistan who want to get out of Afghanistan who are probably – or who might be killed in Afghanistan by the Taliban. Then you think about the Afghan "quote unquote" traitors to the Taliban. They're probably rounding them up. There's been word of that on the streets. All of this
Taliban
is awful.
Can do whatever they want to do right now.
Right?
Can you imagine them showing mercy?
No way.
So they are in control. So you can imagine, you know, whatever we imagine might be happening over there probably is.
Probably, but. You know, this administration and Trump was working on a deal with the Taliban. This administration has a deal with the Taliban, and they believe that they will just let these Americans fly out, even though we've heard that that's not the case. Even still, now that the military has withdrawn, you know, days ago, there's still Americans trying to get out. And the story from Fox News and a number of other sites yesterday said that there are private evacuation flights trying to leave Afghanistan and trying to land in these other countries before taking off and getting these people back home into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they're not being given clearance by the American government. The State Department refused to grant official approval for private evacuation flights. That's this report from Fox News. And that's even though the department conceded that official authorization would be needed for planes to land in those nations. The State Department explicitly stated that charter flights – even those containing American citizens would not be able to land at Defense Department air bases, which really limits their options.
I mean, it's not can you take off, it's where you're going to land.
Yeah, it's not.
If we're limiting any, you know, if we're restricting where they can land, then what's the point of leaving?
Yeah, and there's not many options out there. And U.S. officials have pointed to possible security threats from landing the charter planes in military bases. Even still, you have Americans that are trying to get back, and the military's not, you know, there anymore. So what are they supposed to do? They got to use these private charter planes and these you know, private companies that are trying to get them out of there.
You have some elected officials involved in this, too, and they're hot under the collar because they're trying to get their people out.
Yeah, Republican and Democrats are upset about this.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Psaki, you know, the spokeswoman yesterday, she was asked about this. She acknowledged that at least 100 American citizens are still in Afghanistan, but she did not say whether the State Department or the Taliban was responsible for holding up these flights. Instead, she blamed, and get this, coming from a government official, she blamed incorrect paperwork.
What?
Isn't that the story from everything from the getting your license all the way up, it's always about the paperwork, right?
Yeah, right. And things run so much smoothly when it's through the government.
Exactly. So she said it was the paperwork's fault. And she said it's just – so she was asked if reports that 100 Americans remain in Afghanistan were accurate. She said it's just under that. I think the State Department has given numbers that, as you may have seen out there, reported over the weekend, there were 4 American citizens who were able to depart. That's one of the ways that we are working with American citizens to get out of the country. She said depart overland. Questioned about the airplanes sitting for days on the tarmac, Psaki echoed Secretary of State Antony Blinken in blaming documentation for the delays. She said, we're working to get every single American citizen, any individual who has documentation, out of the country. And I think our Secretary of State also spoke to this on the ground in Qatar, where he conveyed that he has not received reports that individuals who have documentation have been stopped. So, you know, lots of doublespeak and hidden language there. But basically, they're saying it's the paperwork's fault for not getting the rest of these Americans out of Afghanistan.
We all get good at doublespeak in the third grade when we haven't done our homework. And then the parakeet pooped on it, the dog ate it, whatever.
Yeah.
Going to the text line, Pete says 4 of 5 Taliban generals Obama traded from Gitmo for the traitor Bergdahl are now the new Afghan Taliban government.
Yeah, so the Taliban 5, right, was traded for Bergdahl. I think many of us, if not most of us, remember that Rose Garden ceremony where Obama showed up with Bergdahl's parents and was talking about the trade for the Taliban 5. If I can remember correctly, those 5 were sent to Qatar, where they were supposed to, you know, basically have a I don't know if you could compare it to a home where they make you stay at home, you know, with the ankle monitor. I don't know if that's kind of what the situation was. But the day, literally the day after the U.S. military left Afghanistan, a Qatari plane landed with these Taliban leaders. I would imagine they've been running things for the Taliban since they arrived in Qatar. They've just been, you know, speaking from there and telling them what to do. But that's exactly right.
I remember that, yeah.
And there have been other prisoners traded. And, you know, under Trump, there were a lot of prisoners let out of a jail. So this has been kind of, you know, brewing for a long time now, letting out these very bad people who, if they didn't already hate America, you can guarantee that after they're in Guantanamo Bay for a number of years, or after they're held in another, you know, form of confinement by the American military, do you think they're just going to come out of that and say, hey, we're cool now. You guys were right. Thanks for arresting me. I don't know what happened. I lost my mind. No, they're going to come out of there with even more hatred towards America.
You would think so. And when, I mean, they were really happy and proud to see those guys land from Qatar the day after. Well, and that was like the Beatles coming to America. It was like, hey, man, we're here. We're back. Putting the band back together.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no telling. There's no telling what is happening now with us completely out of there. It's 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, turning up your voice. Give us a call.
A34 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. We're already halfway through the work week. Only feels like a Tuesday, but with that Labor Day. Already on Wednesday. Right now, time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. I want to talk about what's happening at McConnell Automotive and what you have on the lot right now.
Well, the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, we've got all those beautiful used car sitting out front. You know, we're going to have a little rain today. Don't forget, if you have that unfortunate accident, McConnell collision. I hate repeating that, but we've got the best body shop in Mobile. So those guys and girls back there will take care of all your needs. And then if your car gets totaled, don't forget, we've got a great selection. Like I said, our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Or if you got any questions on the stuff, call us, 251-476-4141.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're going to be here all day today, and looks like we have a little rain most of the day, and we'll be inside. It'll be nice and cool. Have the TVs going and the internet flying.
Sounds like a plan. Also, still buying cars from folks that want to sell them?
That's right. You want to get rid of a vehicle, call Gene or I, like I said, 251-476-4141. We'll give you the price right over the telephone. Give us the VIN and the miles.
All right. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Did Rand Paul get a smoking gun, do you think, with Fauci? Is that still conjecture? Is that still, you know, is it still a matter of opinion?
I mean, it seems pretty clear, even before these emails came out to The Intercept from that Freedom of Information Act release of the emails, it seems pretty clear that in some form or fashion, the U.S. has been funding gain-of-function research at some point. And I don't know if Fauci – surely he wasn't completely in the dark on this. And even if he was –
how could he be?
Yeah, how could he be?
I mean, that'd be his job.
Yeah, that'd be him not doing his job if he knew nothing about it.
Right.
But the way he, you know, spoke when Rand Paul was asking him these questions during those two Senate testimonies, I think two, maybe even three, and others were asking about him too, he pretty plainly, if you remember, said that the U.S. was not funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan.
And as Paul was trying to explain his case away, Fauci was getting more vocal, saying, you don't know what you're talking
right.
about. Like, I'm the expert.
Was Fauci, you know, using a loophole where things weren't exactly 100%? You know, if he said the U.S. wasn't funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan, is it possible that he can get away with this by saying, well, technically we were funding gain-of-function research here, or technically it wasn't gain-of-function research, although it's the same kind of thing. I don't know. But for some of the, you know, doublespeak that Fauci has had over the last year and a half where he says one thing – I mean, starting from the very beginning where they lied to the American people about masks and they said you don't need it and then came out and said, yeah, we were lying because we wanted to make sure there were plenty of masks for our healthcare workers. Just come out and say that immediately. But – that was kind of what started off his relationship with the American people.
Yeah.
Half or maybe more of Americans fell in love with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing out first pitches. Everything he said was basically the red words in the Bible. You had to abide exactly by what Fauci said. Even as he, you know, changed his mind and said different things during different interviews in the same days.
I think it wasn't so much, you know, you just need to explain things better because the science does change and
yeah.
we're learning as we go along. But they attempted to give us the impression that they had it all under control. You be quiet and we'll take care of this. And his demeanor was that way where he was kind of like your friendly uncle and
yeah.
he's got this, you know. But it's more of the way that they when they did begin to change their story from this to that, from this to that, the mask thing certainly is one of the big ones. But every time the story changed a little bit, it should have been more kind of presented as an update.
Right.
Like, this is what we think now, and this is why.
Well,
rather than just kind of doublespeak, and I think they just blew the whole presentation.
Well, just think, I mean, if you meet, let's say you're hanging out with someone you don't really know that well,
mm-hmm.
and you're both standing there, and they go, hey, look at that blue car. And you go, actually, that's a green car. There's two different ways they can answer this. They can go, oh, yeah, you're right, that's a green car. I was way off base. Wow, look at that. Or they can go, yeah, that's what I said. I said it was a green car.
Yeah.
The second way
is what they're doing.
No one likes that person.
No.
You're like, no, you definitely said that was a blue car. No. I said it was a green car.
I hate people like that.
I think everyone does.
I know people like that.
So why, you know, why would we put up with it with Fauci? Why is he still the leading voice on every single thing? Every Sunday, he's on the shows.
Yeah, two FDA people stepped down with Biden on a date.
Yeah, pushing these booster shots.
The booster shots, you know. And they just finally said, you know, I was happy to see that, actually.
Yeah.
I was happy to see somebody step down because it's kind of it's a little more seismic rather than just complete silence, turn your back. I can't believe that happened, but I'm not going to say anything. They basically are whistleblowers because they're saying this is not right.
Right. I mean, you kind of have your own problem. If, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest thing to happen to America in the last certainly decade, possibly decades, if, you know, how is everyone in the same frame of mind and everyone in agreement you know, at those higher levels of government, you would have to, you would want there to be disagreement,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
With something
you'd
size.
Feel more comfortable if there was disagreement.
Exactly.
If there was conjecture, and then like, I see it this way, I'm not quite sure about this, and if, but for, you know, I guess they just, look, there's not a pandemic all the time. That's why it's an amazing situation we're in. But the handling of it seemed to be...
It's been pretty poor.
Poorly thought out, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. But we'll see if any perjury charges come. If they can prove that Fauci knew that we were funding this gain-of-function research, and again, he might be putting himself in trouble. If you come out and say, yeah, we were funding this research because it's important for us to keep pace with the Chinas and Russias, this is a form of warfare, or could potentially be a form of warfare. If the United States isn't doing their due diligence on... every single form of warfare, then, you know, then we're not doing our job. If they came out and said that instead of, oh, no, we didn't have anything to do with this research. We weren't even in China.
Yeah.
Well, once it's proven that you did have something to do with that research and that, yeah, we were in China, then you're facing a huge situation.
Jerry Carl says it's hard not to think that that Fauci's decision-making wasn't affected by financial gains. This is what he had to say on Jeff Poor's show yesterday.
No doubt in my mind. And we've tried every way in the world to get a peek at that, and that's sealed up like so many things in Washington. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that's the only thing that's made sense to me, to make these to say one thing one day and say something totally opposite the next week. It's got to be financial related. I'll believe that. I'll go to my grave believing that.
Biden was in New Jersey, New York yesterday, talking, instead of just talking about you know, holding hands and helping people get it back together, he tied everything to global warming.
Yep. Climate change.
Yep. Climate change. So we've got, let's see, somebody
let's
on the line.
Let's go. Sam in Saraland.
Sam,
I think we have
okay.
on the line. Hey, Sam, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, doing good. Well. What you got for us?
Good. Yeah, I just want to make a comment. This probably sounds far-fetched to a lot of people, but 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought any of this. But, you know, with the Fauci, you know, lies and everything that the Biden administration has done, you know, as far as going up, leaving people over there, leaving all the weapons and stuff, the people coming in from the southern border, all this is planned. This is planned as part of their plan. I said, I know that probably sounds far-fetched.
What do you think the end game is, Sam?
Well, I mean, so they can go back to war over in Afghanistan. We will go back in over there at some point, I think. And it's profitable for, you know, Biden and his cronies or whoever. War is profitable for, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they don't care about, you know, the people that lost their lives and stuff, evidently. The lives... Fauci, no, he won't get in any trouble, I don't think. But that was planned. They did that on purpose. You know, I haven't figured out, you know, if it just the virus leaked out from over there, you know, by mistake or whatever. But all that was part of the plan. Like I said, and the stuff going on the southern border, you know, all that's planned.
Right.
You know, that's part of the plan.
I think you,
the call.
You know, and maybe it was planned. I think more likely they see opportunities they feel they can exploit, and I think that's what's happened here with the pandemic. There are, and I try to use sports analogies. I probably use them far too often. I think more often than not, if you have a coach that, let's say the coach is the president, you have a coach that completely is terrible at his job. Mm-hmm. You know, goes to a new school. Let's call that school Kansas, and goes 0-24 those first 2 years. Did the coach do that on purpose, or is he just a terrible leader?
I got it.
I think in a lot of instances, what we think the government is doing on purpose, and no doubt there, a lot of this is on purpose, like what's happening on the southern border.
It's incompetence, is what you're saying.
I think a majority of the time it's incompetence, but. You know, as long as they get theirs, who cares if it's incompetence or planned?
Sam, throwing in the idea of defense contractors, there's something to that always.
And by the way, China is talking about taking over Bagram Air Force Base now in Afghanistan.
Super duper. 8:46, we'll talk to Jeff Poor, preview his show, and chat with him next on FM Talk 106.5. For all the texts and phone calls, too, 343-0106, Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings at 8:50. 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock, the show that follows ours. See, at 9 o'clock, actually gets It's going about 9:06 after the news at the top of the hour. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, and Jeff joins us today as he does every Wednesday. Jeff, who do you have worked up for today's guest list?
Got Steve Flowers coming up. We'll hit on some of the things going on here statewide. Obviously, I think we're on the verge of a big prison announcement. Todd Stacey with the reporting there, but just kind of talking to people behind the scenes. We're on the verge of a special session being called by Governor Ivey. Got political consultant John Gray. You heard Chip Brown and I have a discussion yesterday about masking in school systems, and he thinks that there's a case to be made where it's acceptable to have masking in school systems. Mm. 11 o'clock hour, got Josh Moon coming up. So Josh is very plugged into the whole gambling situation. It hasn't gone away. A consortium of the dog tracks, they have their own agency now, or their own, I guess, lobbying firm. Pushing back, saying that special session needs to be used to pull the trigger on a gambling bill. And then we'll wrap it up with Sean Ross of SR Communications.
Wow. Well, so the dog track coalition, a little bit like the Big 12 and the ACC and the Pac-12 getting together out of nowhere. It's kind of like, okay.
It's probably more like, like the ACC. Because the big player is probably the Porch Creeks. They're probably the SEC in this equation. And yes, they're probably, the dog tracks are probably more like the ACC. I mean, they're players, but they're not the players.
Dog tracks and prisons. It's been this pounding drum for about
like
9 months.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yes. Right? Oh, like 20 years, guys.
Yeah.
And you got Steve Flowers coming on. You know, I'm a library guy now. Again, I've joined the library. It's been at least, even when I was going to college, I didn't go into the library.
Well, welcome to my college years, too, but you join a library?
I've joined one of the...
You have a library card.
Yeah, I have the library card. It's
like
very
a gym
special.
Membership.
It's tough to get, and I got one. And I, right now, on hold, have Steve Flowers of Goats and Governors.
Oh!
Very, very excited to read that
very
from Mr.
Good.
Flowers. So
I could probably swing you a free copy of that.
Oh, you think, Jeff?
Well, they're free.
Autographed.
They're free at the library, too, unless you shoplifted.
You don't need to wait on hold for a Steve Flowers book here. I'm just saying.
So you were talking about masks in schools, and yesterday you had Representative Chip Brown on talking about his pre-filed bill. I want to talk about vaccination status in colleges across America. I'm sure we'll see it in high schools soon if we haven't already. But one of the big stories from yesterday, Rutgers not allowing unvaccinated students to do virtual classes.
What?
So even though I think it's ridiculous and I don't think it should be allowed, I can see someone's point when they say they don't want unvaccinated students in physical classes.
Yeah.
But to not allow them into the virtual class? I mean, didn't you just spend the last 2 years doing virtual classes? What sense does this make, and how insane are some of these universities, Jeff?
I think it's social engineering at its logical extreme that, we're going to shun you from society if you don't do what we tell you to. But look at Rutgers anyway as an institution. It's New Jersey. In this era, everybody wants to go to college. Everybody gets to go to college. You have to wonder if maybe this is just not a way to, I guess, kind of weed out some students. I don't know. I'm very skeptical of this story and the way this is being portrayed. But it is certainly not it's certainly not surprising that it's taken on that path.
By the way, a lot of people don't realize that is the State University of New Jersey,
Rutgers,
like Alabama or Georgia. Yes, for whatever reason, it's got the name Rutgers, but it might as well be U of NJ.
The McCourty twins from Rutgers University, NFL players.
Ah, okay,
yeah. And Jeff, regarding that and Rutgers doing this. The report out yesterday from Wall Street Journal that said only 40% of college students are males now, and that's even further – that's even lower than it's been, I think, ever, the lowest number of males going to college. Is all of this liberal the pushing of so many far-left ideas in colleges working against these universities now, or is it more that people are kind of surveying the landscape and saying, college isn't really all that necessary anymore?
Well, I mean, look at what some of these trades are paying now compared to what they paid, I don't know, the 1970s or something like that. But, just physiologically, you need to have upper body strength. You need to have some characteristics that men. I mean, there's not, you know, many female. I mean, there are a few plumbers and carpenters and construction workers, but typically those are male professions. And I think now that like I said, anybody who wants to go to college can go to college. No matter what the costs are, there's money available. Mm-hmm. It's making that, it's giving an opportunity for more females to go to college. They're not just, they're not just the stay at home moms anymore.
And beyond that, Dalton, not just the people that are more interested in a trade, are there not young people, 18, 19, have already been kind of entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
Or already feel like they can make their own way without the college degree?
That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a wash along gender lines. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at it from a gender perspective, are there not female entrepreneurs as well, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe a wash, but how do you account for that 10%, I guess it's 20%, 60-40 split in colleges and universities? And you got to look, and I think it's totally this, that there's more opportunity, non-college opportunities for men.
Okay. Well, I also wonder let's say you've got a kid that's 16, 17, getting ready to go to college, great grades, can get into any school they want, but you're a conservative Christian, believer. That's what you abide by. Would you be okay sending your daughter or son to Harvard? I mean, the place that just put an atheist as the lead chaplain there at Harvard, and they're so far left, just like so many universities. I don't know if even with the brand name there of Harvard, would you want your kid going there? I think a lot of people are kind of going through that.
If Jax gets into Harvard, he's going to Harvard. I mean, I'm sorry. We'll just have to hold a basement Bible study or something. But on the other hand, if it's like Sewanee or some other kind of B-tier like private school, and he gets into when they've decided to go atheist or agnostic or whatever, yeah, we'll probably keep him and send him off to Auburn University or somewhere.
So text line, Lisa says both my boys went to college for about a year and decided to go into the workforce. One of them is in a craft position that pays very well. So anyway, there's just one story from the text line.
I mean, I loved that I went to college, but I've been saying this for I probably could have gotten where I am without going to college.
You could have.
Probably could have.
I can tell you that.
And would have paid a lot less money. And just out of high school, so many of my friends went into different trades, a lot of them into lumber, and they were driving, $70,000, $80,000 trucks while I'm, slumming it through my sophomore year at Troy. So there are better options out there in a lot of instances than college.
I tell you what, my grandparents, they thought it was a big deal. They didn't get to college was something, not everybody got to. There's a generational thing there that the college higher education has been dining off of, this antiquated notion from 100 years ago that only really smart people go to college. And that's just not the case anymore. Everybody has a college degree or has some kind of college time, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. Everybody can get it, so it's become a lot less valuable, and that probably points to a lot of those numbers. Well, Jeff, we're looking forward to it. Great guest list again today, and if you have time during the break, I wouldn't mind if you asked for a signed copy of Goats and Governors for your friend Dalton, but, it's at the library anyway, so regardless, I'll be reading Steve's new book, old book.
We'll see what we can do.
Dalton is now a member of the library.
Yes, I am.
Never heard it put that way before. You, Jeff? Member?
I'm a card-carrying library, I don't know.
Guy, yeah. Jeff Moore on the way next.